Item number 10 from the Behavioral Health Division.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the Behavioral Health Division's response to a report commissioned by the Disability Rights Wisconsin. At our January meeting, a follow-up report was requested. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you.
Point of order?
Yes.
Can we take up 10 and 11 at the same time?
I think each one of these is going to be interesting in and of itself.
Okay.
Yes.
No problem. Either.
And they're both informational, mm-hmm. So there's no action. Well, there may not be action. I think so. Yeah. Or if there is action, it will be obviously different. So, okay. Item number 10.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, as you heard, this is a report that was submitted verbally in the last Health and Human Needs Committee meeting. I'd be happy to go over the report again if it is the pleasure of the committee, or again I can touch base on what we would consider highlights.
Okay, Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the Disability Rights Wisconsin here?
There is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like for the administration to go through their report first, and then we will. We do have a card from.
Right. No, my question was, we have heard the item. If we could just do a brief description.
That's what we're doing. We're going to get an update from what happened.
Madam Chair, I do have a floor. I'm just asking a question, and I'd like to ask it without being interrupted. Then I would like them to respond. Like I said, we spent quite a bit of time at the last meeting. We know where the department is. We have the report in our packet. I'd like to hear more of the response from Disability Rights, if that's what this is going to be, some debating session. Otherwise, I would just like to move on to item 11, make this as short as possible. We've covered this ground once, not already. Let's move on.
And I appreciate that. You're one voice on this committee, and so I have heard you. What we are trying to get at is what progress has been made. This is an update from last month, so we will get that updated report, and then we will hear from Disability Rights Wisconsin. They did fill out a card. And so I have no desire whatsoever to make this a debating session. I don't think anybody else here does. The department will give us the highlights as other departments have with each and every single other item before this, and then we will move on. Mr. Kubitschek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I would like to point out that. We acknowledge that there have been certain situations in certain cases where there have been issues related to patient care, and that is in the context of an overwhelmingly larger proportion of very good things that occur in the division. Some of these issues have, again, recently resurfaced in this report that was commissioned by DRW. What I will do is highlight some of the action items that they requested in this report, and then I will highlight some of those improvement actions that we had initiated. And again, I want to put the caveat or the proviso in here that these improvement actions were done without regard to this report. They were done far in advance of the divisions receiving this report, with the exception of one. And there is an update on that one item that was not included in the original corrective action request. So one of the improvement actions that we had engaged in was improving and monitoring the treatment of medically ill patients. And we had hired a number of key leadership positions. We hired two new medical directors, and our third director for the division is starting as of Monday. What this does is administratively allows those leadership positions to focus on quality of care, focus on the quality of medical services that is being delivered. We developed and requested in the budget some positions. We developed an Office of Compliance, Safety, and Integrity, and we developed a new physician quality officer that will be hired in this calendar year. We've initiated a procedures and policies to reduce seclusion and restraint, and we have experienced positive results throughout the division as it relates to seclusion and restraint. We've done a lot of training for acute and crisis services nursing staff focused on assessment, intervention, and evaluation. We have what you heard last week was Dr. Dawn Pulse was describing the new and strengthened model of the delivery of physical medical services. What we had been doing prior to that is essentially a rounds type of monitoring of medical care. We have now assigned specific medical practitioners to specific areas where they have a concurrent and consistent patient load, so they're much more familiar with the needs of the patients that they're taking care of rather than rounding throughout the entire facility. That was also required some budget actions, and that those budget approvals, those for additional positions, were forthcoming. So the other request was to stop or reduce admissions. This is, again, a DRW request, stop or reduce admissions until such improvements are made and maintained. In 2012, towards the end of 2012, we reduced a full inpatient unit. We closed 24 beds on the inpatient unit. And we were able to do that because of expanded partnerships, because of the additional community-based investments, and additional capacity amongst the partner hospitals that are within the behavioral health network in Milwaukee County. We have also stopped admissions to Hilltop and Central. You heard a verbal report a short time ago about the progress that we're making on those long-term care units. And again, what are now six units are set to close, all of them by the end of 2015. The other recommendation was to hire outside personnel with both medical and psychiatric expertise to review and recommend improvements. We have hired and now received a consultant nursing home administrator's report that looked at the entire nursing home operations, policy reviews, staff utilization, program content. It was a very comprehensive report that has been submitted and now received and has been forwarded on to the Rehab Center Executive Committee for implementation. We received, I think most importantly, a full CMS federal survey that was conducted I believe it was April of this last year. And what a full CMS survey team is comprised of medical staff, nursing staff, psychiatric social worker staff, policy staff, environmental staff, environmental engineers, and that I believe there was approximately eight members of that CMS team, and they were in the facility for a week. So it was an exceedingly comprehensive, in-depth review and analysis of virtually everything that goes on in the hospital. We continue our work with Critical Management Solutions, which is an external consultant. The focus of that consultation is to improve the overall quality of care and subsequent delivery impact with an eye towards Joint Commission accreditation. The last item is they made the recommendation that citizenry of the county should be involved in the process of change and have a role in evaluating treatment provided by BHD. We had invited Disability Rights Wisconsin to be members of the PhD's quality improvement committees, and until the and they were in, they did they attended I'm not sure 4 or 5 meetings up to this point, but in light of the recent issues related to their disclosure of confidential patient information, that invitation was withdrawn. So that would be the updated change in terms of that the remaining item that hadn't been corrected prior to the receiving of that document. I can certainly review the final comments about the damage that the media the subsequent media exposure that these Disability Rights Wisconsin reports generated. But that really was covered in very specific detail last week. Suffice to say, we are confident in our ability to deliver quality care despite what the report says. We are confident in our ability to treat people well. I received a phone call just a couple days ago from a patient who wanted to donate money to the Behavioral Health Division because she was given clothes and was treated very well, and she mentioned a number of staff who treated her very well, and subsequently she wanted to pay for the clothes that she got about a year ago. I tried to encourage her to not donate the money to us, but she was insistent, so I referred her to a consumer-run organization, and she was happy to receive that information. I say that not to be discounting of the issues that we have experienced in the division, but when those issues are painted with such a broad brush as to imply or specifically state that the care is unsafe, I think is a gross exaggeration. So with that, I'll close on this item.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions from committee regarding Mr. Kubischek's report? We do have a card from Christian Kurtsteiner from the Disability Rights Wisconsin, who is speaking for information.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and the members of the committee, for listening to my comments here from Disability Rights Wisconsin. And I would just like to point to our recommendations of June 2013 that were responded to in your most recent report, and say that it was clearly spelled out in there that in that June 17th document that our concerns, while maybe precipitated by the most recent, at that time, the most recent events, we have had an ongoing concern and have written prior reports and dealt with individual cases and systemic issues around the complex for many years. And it was our intent to portray in our reason for doing this and moving forward with a more drastic set of recommendations and requests was that we have been through this cycle so many times of immediate jeopardies, CMS. They do a plan of correction. Some things happen. Time goes by. Somebody dies. Someone has there's a sexual assault, and it just keeps happening, such that there's a need to take some sort of sea change, drastic action to break that cycle. And that was prompted us to be more assertive in what we recommended and our approach to it. That being said, we're certainly glad that they hired 5 leadership positions. But increasing levels of activity doesn't mean that you're solving the problem. And while I'm glad that there are more people in leadership looking at what's going on, you have to have a critical analysis of what those problems are and how, at a grassroots, concrete level, you're going to fix them. That was the point behind the outside experts, which is not just, why don't you hire some folks from a variety of places to do some things that are outside of the complex. We specifically talked about a comprehensive team to come in at the ground level who were coordinated and working in concert to come up with specific programmatic evaluation and review of how things went day-to-day, situation-to-situation, service-to-service through the complex. So their response of a number of surveyors who've made regular visits or a consulting nurse home administrator may or may not be helpful, but that's not the specific targeted team response that we were asking happen. We do acknowledge that we're glad, and we acknowledged in our report in June that we were glad that they were voluntarily closing, working on a closure for Rehab Central and Hilltop. However, there have been a number of instances since the report, and I'm only referring to some of the ones that are in the paper so that I'm not citing any specific confidential facts, unless they were reported in the paper. I'm just conveying that. There was an immediate jeopardy in September regarding physical and emotional abuse at Rehab Central. They didn't report it right away. They waited. The individuals that were chasing and screaming and pulling on people's clothes and saying derogatory terms it took three weeks for some action to happen. They were still on the unit. They were still engaged in care, whatever that means. There was a death in December that also led to CMS findings. I know that the response of Mr. Kubitschek is, but they weren't the worst set of findings. That doesn't sound like a very good response to me. They were significant findings, including that the staff that were engaged in the physical and chemical restraint of this individual who died very quickly in their care, that staff didn't seem to be familiar with the rules regarding restraint and seclusion. That's not good. Whether it results in an immediate jeopardy or another plan of correction, that's not a good answer to say, well, it could have been worse. They could have tried to close us. There were $118,000 last year, reportedly, in fines for abuse at the complex. That's not good. There is currently a woman who in January had a heart attack she's still in West Preside, you know, what I've seen described as a fairly negative, medically compromised position over at Frederick. And that is alleged by, I think, her attorney and others to have been based on poor medical care. This is an ongoing problem. The waiting for CMS to have a bunch of solutions that are accepted, which always includes a lot of training, doesn't seem to work because the same, all this training happens, and then the next time they come back, when someone dies, they say, well, it don't seem like these people understood the rules. So we need to have something directly in there. We, as Mr. Kubitschek pointed out, we were told that we were no longer welcome on the committee to work on improvements. We have been having trouble getting our federally mandated access requests complied with. I'm sorry that we wrote something that was uncomplimentary to the complex, but it needs to be said for the care of the patients. That's what our concern is, the patients who are there being safe and getting good treatment. So as DRW, I got to say, we are not involved in citing violations. We're not the cop that gives you the speeding ticket. We're the policy person that talks about, let's have a public discussion about what should the speed limit be for that street. Why are we having? Maybe we need to do something else because people are getting run over. Not to say, well, there was a speeding ticket, they paid her fine, so we're good, everything's fine. No, that's not enough. And that's our position, is that we want to keep working with and monitoring and perhaps having uncomplimentary things to say about whoever is in charge of the facility and whoever is making the policy if people aren't safe. So I don't think they were responsive. We will certainly, we're willing to say we're glad that there's some progress being made at this point with the hiring and the voluntary closures, but we will continue to hold their feet to the fire whether they are upset about it or not. And that's our position, and that's our job. And thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything from committee? Supervisor Stemper?
I did. I'm interested in hearing Director Collins. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I just need to clarify a few things that were stated that are just unfair. One, that people keep dying at the mental health complex. It's been referred that six individuals died, and only one of those individuals was there in immediate jeopardy. That means only one of those individuals, CMS found a patient care-related citation or concern. And so, and the one that there was in immediate jeopardy, we held people responsible, and we took corrective actions to ensure that something like that does not happen again. It was very sad, but we took action on that. The other thing I want to say that you can't get more comprehensive than the CMS team that comes here. I mean, they have psychiatrists, and I mean, they have a full comprehensive team. It's independent look. There's no one more thorough than that team to come in here and look at our stuff. And you know, they gave us the citations. We provided a corrective action plan. Many of this stuff happened 2 years ago, and we've made significant improvements since that time. She references this report in September about some caregiver misconduct. We were the ones that reported that to the state. We were the ones. That is not tolerated at the Behavioral Health Division anymore. And we're making sure that we do the right thing, and we're the ones that invited the state to investigate that situation. You know, just because a lawyer says hypothetically there's, you know, medical mistreatment here doesn't make it seem that that's the case. And I just want to say again, if there isn't a patient-related citation as relates to CMS, when CMS comes in here, you know, we would have gotten an immediate jeopardy, and we didn't get that. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
And I would like to add one
Supervisor Bowen, in response to that.
I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor. Well, actually, Supervisor Stemper, you still have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I forgot what I was going to say, so
I'll come back. I'll circle back.
Yeah,
right,
come back.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question about the report talked about not having a 24-hour, I think, medical doctor to assess patients that have medical issues and psychiatric issues when they're dealing with both. I know in the report it talks about there was further training for current staff on how to deal with those individuals, but I believe last month the doctor from the facility was saying that it's not really needed for a 24-hour doctor. That really wasn't on the table, but the called it the watchdog report says that you should have one. Can the director comment on if that is a focus of improvement, or maybe Mr. Gubacek can talk about that as well and moving forward.
Mr. Gubacek, please move the mic in front of you. Thank you.
So the position that was being referred to in the last month's cycle was a second shift physician, medical physician. There is 24-hour coverage in the facility. We have an emergency room where there's a minimum of 3 physicians on at all times in the facility.
Now, right?
Always.
Always.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
What was described as difficulty, the position is there, that second shift primary medical physician position is there, it's in the budget, and subsequent to the meeting last time, we have tried to engage in some additional recruiting efforts to try to get somebody into that position and have, at this point, been unsuccessful in just filling the position due to lack of candidates.
Okay. And I guess I'll wait for the next item to talk about staffing requirements. But what's just odd is that some of the same comments that are used by that it's not that big of an issue, right, were used to create the state bill and to transfer power from the county board to another board, which I do want clarification on what the new board has access to and direction in that sense next week, or next month, but we'll get there. But it's very odd that the same arguments are made, and all of a sudden, and it's safe to say that the administration did lobby for that with those same arguments. But then they'll come here and say, well, you know, it's not people dying; it's one person that had a medical issue and things of that nature. I'm just confused, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Semper, you got your question back?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. Miss, I forgot, what's your name?
Steiner, it's okay.
Mr. Steiner, yes.
A good guess, that's good.
Okay, enough. Your report, is it updated? Because it sounds like the report from last month. I didn't learn anything new. Is it an updated report? And
it was a snapshot in time about that what at that time was the it wasn't all the deaths, by the way, at the complex. It was the ones that these were some highlighted deaths that we thought we viewed as being problematic. We don't do a report on everything. That's not all that we do. We do legal act. We're attorneys that do casework. We've got advocates that do individual advocacy, discharge planning things.
Okay.
We do policy work. So when we do a report, it's because we figure or hope it will be an effective tool to push change. And honestly, part of the 7-18 that passed that we are pleased with, because there are parts that I don't understand either, is at the very end, you will notice in the last page, there is a programmatic audit that's going to be done by the Department of Health Services. That is basically what we were suggesting. You need these outside people. We weren't suggesting DHS. We were hoping it would be totally independent people that didn't have either side, you know, that they were supporting. But we wanted to get that independent programmatic audit. That's what we were talking about. And we thought these certain people would be a good group to perform it. So that was added to, that was in the substitute amendment that is put in.
So okay, so
good.
Yeah, so the position of DRW is you are in favor of the state takeover?
We filed and registered in support of the concept of drastic action, although we're not sure that you know, sometimes things don't play out and when they're implemented the way you hope they will. So we are going to continue to follow it and see if, in fact, the things that we think, it doesn't matter to us who is doing things not well and who is doing things well. The who is not important to us. It's that the patient gets what they need by whoever. So that is, you know, important to us. And I would also point out that the MDs that are down in the emergency room were down in the emergency room when all these other things happened and the continuing medical problem. So it clearly isn't solving the problem.
Okay.
So let's find the right solution, not just activity and positions and reports and training. Let's find the right activity. Let's break it down. What's wrong? Let's fix it.
Okay. And Ms. Beckert, have you taken over her role now?
No, she is the Milwaukee office director.
Mm-hmm.
I am the statewide managing attorney for the community and institutions team.
Okay.
And the head of the protection and advocacy for individuals with mental illness team.
Okay.
I mean, it's sort of overlapping.
All right. I have the floor. I have the chair now. Supervisors, anybody want any questions?
I do.
Okay. Supervisor Peggy West and then Mayo.
All right. Thank you. I just, and I'm sorry because I had to step out of the chair because I think the statements that are being made by DRW, you're being so disingenuous. You really, really are. Because I've heard you say that you wanted to push policy change and that you wanted programmatic audits and you wanted all of these wonderful things. But yet, your agency did not give that report in June to the policymaking body for the Milwaukee County. So you gave us absolutely no tools in order to implement any of the things that you're asking for. And I obviously have a sneaking suspicion that it had something to do with the legislation that passed yesterday. And that was the reason why you didn't do it, because now you can point and say, oh, look, and they didn't do this and that and the other. But the truth of the matter is, and you can make faces if you want to, that's fine, but the truth of the matter is that this report we were circumvented on. The report was leaked to the Journal Sentinel in January after our budget process was over and after there was absolutely nothing that we could do to implement any of the changes that you had asked. And then your agency has the audacity to email my office and to ask me to give me a copy of the report after the Journal Sentinel had already given me a copy of the report and tell me that our department hasn't done anything about it and now you're upset. I completely don't understand, again, unless it was, you know, on purposely done, because I've sat here and I've heard you say policy and I've heard you say push change and that you wanted a programmatic audit. Guess what? This board could have done a programmatic audit in the 2014 budget had we have known that that's what DRW wanted. I also have to tell you that I find it very suspicious that each and every single budget since I have been here since 2004, Ms. Barbara Becker comes and she always has some recommendation for this county board to push some type of change or some type of amendment through the 2000, you know, whatever budget we're working on. And in 2014, crickets chirping. Nothing from Barb Beckert. Nothing from DRW. And you have this report that sits and tells us how it is that we can improve the policies and things that we can put in place, interdisciplinary teams, programmatic audits, what have you. But yet, I got no phone call in my office, and nor did any of the other members of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors in regards to this report, and none of us received this report, including the chairwoman's office, until January, when the Journal Sentinel wrote an article about it, and then the media started contacting us and asking us about this, that, and the other. And I actually had no idea that this report even existed, because it was given to the third floor. And they are, I guess they're correct in their assertion that it was given to them and that they didn't need to give it to us if they didn't want to. It was your report, so it was your report to hand out to whom you wanted to have it. And you made the conscientious decision that the policy-making body of the county board, the people that could have read this report and instituted every change that you asked for, should not receive it. And so it's disingenuous for you to sit here now and to make assertions and to come before this body and to say that A, B, C, and D has not been done when you had the tools within your reach the entire time to get all of these policy things completed, and you chose not to use those tools.
And the report that we, in the conclusion of our recommendations to that accompany the report, we point out that we had a prior meeting in January before that June with the Executive Abley and Hector Colon and I think Jim Kubitschek, at which time we committed to them, and it's in the memorandum that accompanies it, that prior to presenting our expert report to any public forum, we would in fact meet with them and let them see it, hoping that we could spur action of the people that do the day-to-day workings of the complex. That was our intent. They didn't. We had hope that we would get those kinds of things worked on in terms of voluntarily shutting the front door and getting a programmatic audit done. It didn't work out that way, but we were fulfilling an obligation that we made to them in January that we would give them an opportunity to look at it and fix it before any other action was taken to make it public. Now, my understanding from a private attorney is that he received a copy. This is just hearsay, but he said he received a copy of the report from DQA as a under an open records request.
And Mr. Chairman, having had a conversation with the county executive in January of 2013, supplying them with a written report with a full-page summary on what action needed to be taken, and then not seeing any of those actions or any of those suggestions implemented or included in September when the county budget came out, allows DRW ample time to get in touch with any member of this county board to give them a copy of that report and to ask them to make amendments to the 2014 budget to have these things included. And that was not done. So again, I just want to state for the record, and this is my last statement, it is completely disingenuous for them to sit before us today and complain about lack of action when action could have and should have been taken in the 2014 budget had this report been given to any member of the county board or to the chairwoman's office.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you have a response to why you did not act? We remember yours, Director. You didn't have to. You know, they gave it to you. That was their report. Remember? You said you didn't have to. Just a response on why you did not give it to us. Do you have that?
Because they were busy planning a state takeover.
You know, I
just
got
to act. That's
yes.
It, because we yes. Got to move on.
Right. And I have to say that none of the information that and the circumstances that we were talking about in the report were not something that had been dealt with repeatedly in the media about this. There's bad things going on at the complex. You need to do something. You need to fix it. So this wasn't like, whoa, what a surprise. This is not deep throat about people were dying and being talked about in the media, and people were getting sexually assaulted and being talked about in the media. This is not something that wasn't available. So I don't think that
okay.
Surprise that this happened and that the immediate jeopardies kept coming and coming
okay.
Could be, I mean, I think that that's a little overwrought. As to whether we should have, I am not on the day-to-day grounds with the Milwaukee County budget, so I cannot speak to that directly.
Okay.
I take a statewide approach to what I
thank
to
you.
Do.
Thank you, Ms. Steiner. Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to agree with, I was going to compliment you on your report because I felt that we need to get that information out there. But after your statements, I'm kind of confused because you want things accomplished and you went to the exec office and they didn't do it. You had time to come down to the county board and who are the policymakers. And you can't give me an excuse because you're on a state level because you was lobbying the state people so you understand who make policy and do everything else. That we could set and help you and work with you. So in other words, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And when the state take over, I'm going to see what you get done and who are going to be accountable for it. And then who you going to cry to then? Because there's no one you're going to be listening because there's no accountability there.
Mm-hmm. And in response to that, I would say that in retrospect, I'm not clear that we wouldn't have do things differently. You hope your ship is afloat in terms of the ship of change. It's afloat and moving, and it takes that minute when you say, you know what, this ship is sunk. We need to get in the lifeboat and do something else. It's hard sometimes to pick a point when that happens. And in retrospect, would it have been, should we have recognized
right,
we weren't
just,
getting
hold
what
on,
we
excuse,
wanted
excuse,
sooner?
Excuse, Ms. Stein, let me try this out. This is the way it goes. When the supervisor speaks, then it's your turn, or I acknowledge you to speak. That hasn't happened in two or three times. So please wait till I acknowledge you to speak, and then you can speak. So right now, Supervisor Mayo still has the floor. It's called Robert Rules of Order. So let's follow some Robert Rules of Order. So now, Mayo, do you still have the floor?
Yes, thank you.
Supervisor Mayo has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I'm going to talk to you directly because even though she talked about a ship, the ship was not sunk yet. They put a torpedo in it, and it went down. Now they got another sailboat that they're going to try to work. And I'm going to see those sails going to go down, or they're going to sink that too. But when those patients, it's about the patients.
Right.
It's not about who have it right now. When those patients don't have no one to be accountable to say, help me. And I want to see where these advocates going to be at. I want to see where the state senators going to be at. I want to see where the governor going to be at. Because those patients are going to be saying, help. And they're going to have no life preserver. They're going to be on an anchor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Supervisor Mayo. We have Supervisor Weishaun and Supervisor Bowen. Supervisor Taylor, do you have something? And then Schmidt. Are we going to go Weishaun, Bowen, and then Supervisor Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the your comments about activity doesn't equal solutions, and I think what DRW has been doing is advocating for just that. There's not going to be any giant, huge funding infusion into Milwaukee County Mental Health. What we've done is exchange one board for another, and in fact, I see it as strangely supporting a change that results in no better outcomes.
Right.
The fact is, you know, I've been on the board since 2000, and it was the county board that had always added funding, that had always supported programs, that things that DRW wanted. You know, Ms. Becker would come down here and ask on stuff, and I find it, as what was pointed out, strange that they see us, you see us as the enemy, because it's been our county board oversight that has exposed a lot of this stuff, because we don't run the day-to-day operations. We find out, like a lot of people, after things. We get through this process of a public arena that we can discuss things with the administration and make those issues public. So I feel that, you know, your organization has made the county board the scapegoat, which I find it strange, because we've done nothing but try and help the situation and to fund it. And then, you know, you don't want to take into consideration, you know, I would love to spend $100 million more on mental health, but there's a little thing that the state that you just ran to, they have levy limits. I couldn't save mental health and spend more money if I wanted to. And they put that on in the name of, you know, no new taxes on everything. And I find it just, you know, unbelievable that your organization is going to go and tell people that you're going to somehow save mental health in Milwaukee County by turning the system over to people who you just said, you went to the county executive and he said, I'm not going to add anything in the budget for this service. But who's going to be in charge of the system? The county exec is going to make appointments. And then we have the governor, who, through these email releases, they don't care anything about people with mental health issues. They're crazy people who don't vote. We don't care about them. Just read the emails. They don't care at all. yet they're going to have the majority appointments on this board. So I don't know what your logic that you're trying to use, that somehow you're going to end up with a better outcome, that you're going to empower people that have clearly stated they don't care about people with mental health issues, whether it's in their presented budgets or in their conversations with other people. Yet then you want to vilify the very people who have done nothing but help you. And I can tell you, for the last 14 years, I voted time and time again and in sponsored budget amendments and co-sponsored stuff and made the tough votes and were vilified on talk radio for raising the tax levy to do nothing but add money to mental health and to make this system work. Yet now we get vilified, and you want to give power to people that don't even believe these people deserve the dignity of a decent life. And I just think I have just lost amazing level of respect for disability rights here, because they are so far from being an advocate for people in this, because you are setting up a system that is going to allow these people to either be lost and forgotten and end up with substandard care, and you're going to end up putting more of them are going to end up in prison, and it's going to be a loss of dignity and quality of life for these people. And I will bet you right now, I will, you know, any amount of money you want, that you will not have a better system 3, 4, or 5 years from now. And I want you to stand up and apologize then, when it's clear that this, your course of action has been nothing but a disaster for the citizens of Milwaukee County, both the taxpayers and the patients. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I obviously don't need a response from anybody.
Okay. Well, no, you don't want a response? Okay, well, thank you. Washington, I agree with many of your comments. Supervisor Bowen?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair is on hold right now. But this is why I am so confused, Mr. Chair, and I direct my comments to you.
Sir.
The same exact thing would have happened with this new board, right, that is in place, because they have more health experience and more mental health professional experience. I guess they're more qualified to make decisions on policy. Mm-hmm. But if they don't get access to information, how do they make decisions? And
right.
If this new board would have been withheld from a report that is very telling on things that are going on in the system that they are making decisions on, nothing changes, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
So Milwaukee County loses because, again, nothing changes. And I'm sure the director knows all about what's in this bill. Again, this is what they lobbied for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done everything the administration has wanted us to do, and I've served on this committee for the last 2 years. And, again, the contrast of what's in the report and Disability Rights Wisconsin on one side, and then the director saying, well, it's not that bad. He's saying it's not that bad. We are doing the right things, but the same arguments that they have in their report, Representative Sanfilippo is running across to his colleagues, mm-hmm. quoting everything mm-hmm. that is supposedly wrong, that we aren't doing, and then it falls on the county board when we don't run the day-to-day operations of what's going on at the mental health facility. So I'm just very confused, and only the future will tell what will happen in mental health. And then also, we'll get into in the next item of staffing and looking at that issue. Will the future board be able to make decisions on staffing?
Mm-hmm.
Will they have the information to make decisions on staffing? Who knows? But the day-to-day operations, where the problems reside, as much as they want to point it on the board or the policymakers, I don't see how you can do that. I really don't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. Excellent comments. It was well thought out, and I support everything you just said. And there's no confusion. It's pretty clear. You just pointed it out. So, Supervisor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I didn't think I was going to say anything, but I mean, frankly, I think we all
can agree that we have to do what's in the best interest of the patients. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. Mayor Howitt's done, and Ms. West said that, you know, we'll see. Maybe that in the end the state will put more money in, maybe this will be better. You know, we don't know. But I can tell you that your organization has no credibility with me whatsoever. And frankly, the entire time you were talking, it reminded me of Charlie Brown when the teacher talks or the parent talks and just garble, because that's all that came out of your mouth. I think you guys were so disingenuous, just like the chairman said, so disingenuous of not getting the policymakers any of the information. And you're absolutely right about Barbara Becker. She used to come around here nonstop lobbying for something. Nothing, not a peep. I didn't think she even worked for the organization anymore because she was never down in this building. So, you know, frankly, the whole thing is frustrating. You know, I support what the state was doing. I mean, I put out a press release saying I support what the state was doing, but I also went a little further and said, you know, I'm sick and tired, basically, of being blamed for it, the county board being blamed for it. And Mr. Clone, you know, when, last time we met, I asked who runs the day-to-day operations, and the day-to-day operations is the county executive. And so, you know, when people are dying, don't look at the board. I said, look at the administration. That's what I said in the press release. And, you know, hopefully, at the end of the day, this will turn out. But none of us have a crystal ball. None of us know exactly what's going to happen. I just hope that your organization realizes, like I said, I think with, especially with me, don't send me a letter, don't call my office, don't do anything, because I'm never going to pick up, because you guys have lost all respect. And you can tell that to Barbara, too. When it comes to administration, you know, we're all in this together. You know, we have to spend X amount of dollars per whatever the law is. I mean, I haven't seen this super amendment. I haven't seen the additional amendments. And if you know, if there can be more money infused from the state, if, you know, medical professionals know more about this than I do. But it just seems, you know, between the second floor and the third floor, no one works together. The constant emails back and forth of threats of lawsuits or what, you know, it's got to end. And now, frankly, once this happens and once the state does take it over, then we can't be blamed anymore. Then the paper can't say taking an authority away from the county board. We don't run the day-to-day operations. And I, you know, Supervisor Weishan has talked about, you know, the 12 years he was here put more money in. I know that was the case. I mean, I know about 0% budget or 0% budget or 0% budget that the county executives have brought in, and that the county board before my time and even during my time mm-hmm. have added more money in. So now that money has to come from the state because we have to just give a certain dollar amount. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think some of this, without seeing, like I said, in next month we'll actually be able to see what this bill is, you know. You know, I hope that, you know, that at the end of the day, like I said, we all can agree that it's in the best interest of
patients.
Of the patients. Mm-hmm. But frankly, for DRW to continue to even waste their time driving from Madison to come down here, they might as well just stop. At least, you know, save a stamp on me, because, you know, you just, it just seems that it was just done in such a murky fashion for all the years of actually handing policymakers information so they can consider it and make amendments to a budget, and yet that stuff just comes out after the fact. I don't think anybody out there doesn't realize what was really going on. I don't need a response, don't want one. Wouldn't understand it because I couldn't hear you anyway.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Taylor. He doesn't want a response. I believe we have Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I guess kind of started off this process, I thought, when we had a previous issue, we haven't done capital stuff yet, you know, hour and a half ago, and just I made my comments, so I'm not going to repeat them about checks and balances and where we're going and what's happened. So, and I guess I just want to get back to the reality of things is that, you know, we've been put in a situation here that it is what it is. We can't change it. You know, the measures have been passed at the state level. So I guess in going forward, I really hope to God that the new board can. I mean, I think some of these problems are unsolvable, basically. You know, you have these psychotic situations where, I don't know, people are not in the right minds. Some people more knowledgeable than others who had to take care of certain situations on different shifts, and it's just, I think, impossible in those situations. You wouldn't have some deaths, you wouldn't have some tragedies because of the vulnerability. These people are so vulnerable in so many health areas because of their mental issues, and it just, you know, makes the situation even worse. So we've been all through that. But I guess, you know, I hope we're done because we could sit here for two more hours and complain about things. The reality is that things are changing and changing pretty dramatically.
Right.
And I hope that our good intentions and the many positive things that, again, the board has done, I mean, it's you know, you could say we're blowing our own horn, but so many of the things that are happening, the board certainly has supported all through the years, the downsizing. We've seen significant things that have gone on. I reflect back to a committee of a couple summers ago when we gave carte blanche to the administrators and say, go out and get, you know, more public participation. All the studies told us, the HRS study, you know, that the motto was to go to the private sector and deinstitutionalize just like we've done in hospitals. It's the same process in the mental hospitals. So, you know, it's not like this is something new to us and something we haven't supported. Yeah, and I guess you know who your friends are, you know, and when times get tough. But so let's try to have an honest discussion and get to what, you know, what we can really do. I mean, we're left with something here, and as many of us have said many times, and you know, why did we stay in this? I mean, I have responsibility to represent 50,000 plus people here, and I have to answer to what's going on in many areas besides the parks and other things that go on all the time. This is less glitzy. Okay, but it's so important. If any of us had, you know, relatives in this area, we, you know, we want answers too, of course, and we want accountability. So, you know, I hope our comments are taken, and I hope some of our comments are wrong. I mean, I hope this board can have some accountability. It's pretty hard when we argue for so long, though, that a non-elected board somehow is more accountable than an elected board. I still have trouble with that one. And it's interesting how, you know, people can take or local control, which has been a big issue for so many, and everybody seems to say, yeah, local control is best, but they want to take local control away. So, we're redoing history here, and I wanted to get off that. I want to try to end on some kind of positive note that, you know, let's see what we can be done, Madam Chair. We need that conversation or to get from Corporation Counsel and to have our lobbyist, Jamie, let us know exactly where we stand, so we don't have to have these kind of discussions anymore.
Correct.
Because it's a lot of frustration, it's a lot of wasted energy to just be negative and to just decry, you know, what's happened.
All right.
I think some of it is bad, but let's try to move on and end this discussion today and see what happens.
Sure.
Thank you.
Let's move on. Item number 11. Madam Clerk?
Chairman.
Oh, you have a comment?
If I could.
Can you do it on 11? You can still do it on 11. It's similar. Let's just get to 11. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Cooper. I'm sorry, man. I thought we could move on to 11.
I just would like the opportunity to respond to a couple of the additional items that Ms. Kirstensteiner brought up. It's you run the risk of any time you make these kind of statements of sounding defensive, and it's not my desire to sound defensive, but she referred to a specific death that had occurred in December and the subsequent citations that we received, and she discussed a situation where staff that were engaged in the care of that individual not being trained in seclusion restraint. So I just want to kind of provide some actual facts about what the specifics was, and I don't blame Kit for this because this is based on the information that she read in the newspaper. But the fact is we did get cited for some staff not being trained in seclusion restraint. As part of any kind of state review, they come in and take a look at whatever they want to take a look at. So they looked at our annual trainings, our seclusion and restraints, our annual trainings, they found in I believe, I'm not going to be 100% on the numbers, but 5 of 5 or 7 of 7 physicians had not received that annual training. What had actually happened is the file that the surveyors were looking at did not contain those training certificates. 5 of the 7 had received the training. 2 of the 7 that did not receive the annual training had nothing to do with the care of that individual. We have about 50 physicians that work there. These physicians work very infrequently there, so they had nothing to do with the care of that individual. That citation had nothing to do with what had occurred in December. There's other things I could say, but in the interest of brevity, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear what that citation was about.